Okay, this week's parasha, Parshas Ki Tisa. By the way, Hashem and Moshe Lemur, God spoke to Moshe. Ki Tisa, when you literally lift at Rosh Bnei Yisrael, lift Kudehem to count them, V'natnu ish kofer enafsho. Each person should get a kofer. Kofer is literally a cleansing, right? Yom Kippur, a cleansing of his soul, L'Hashem, Bifkodotam. What do you mean kofer? So, sounds like a lotion of kapara. V'lo ye, a lotion of cleansing. V'lo ye behem negev bifkodotam. And there won't be a negev, there won't be a plague in your counting of them. Lifkod means to entrust. Lifkod also means like you a pkuda, right? You entrust, you give someone a pkuda, you give someone a, like in the army, an order. This is what you have to do. Lifkod means to put a person in his order, in his place, in what he's supposed to be doing, right? So now we're counting people means to put them in their place. That one's lifkodotam means. To put them in their right order, in their right place, in their right position. I.e. they're commanded to do what they're supposed to be doing. Right? And it's a very interesting lashon for kofer. What's this kofer? What's this kapara? You give a kofer. Right? So then it says, Zeyitnu. Why Zeyitnu? So Rashi explains, Zeyitnu, her elo, the Kodesh Baruch Hu showed to Moshe Rabbeinu, kemin matbeh shel esh, a coin of fire. Umishkala machzit shekel, va'amalo kezeyitnu. Like this one, give. What was the difficulty here? You count, you give a coin, chetzi shekel, you know. I can understand that one. What's the difficulty for Moshe Rabbeinu to understand that one? Why Kodesh Baruch Hu to show him a coin of fire? Right? Mm-hmm. And he says, like this you should give. What's happening here? You understand the problem? Mm-hmm. Next. Kola over al-pkudim, anyone who passes on this counting, machzit ha-shekel b'shekel ha-kodesh, how much is this? Esrim geira ha-shekel, it's 20 geiras. Machzit ha-shekel truma la-shem, it's a truma to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's given now, we use it to count, and we give it to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Right? Which is this? For the korbanos. For the korbanos tzibu, for the offerings of the community. Kol ha'ovel ha'pkudim ben 20 shana, from 20 years and upwards, yitain trumas Hashem. Ha'ashir lo yabe, someone who's rich doesn't give more. Vadal lo yamit, doesn't give less. Mimachzit ha'shekel. Everyone gives the same half a shekel. Why half? Half a shekel. Not a shekel, half a shekel. Letet trumat Hashem, lekaper anafshoteichem. To be a kapara for you. For your souls. That means, that's what Rashi says here, kaporal nafshotechem, right? Rashi says two pshatim. One is that you won't get a plague for this minion, shalonim gof. And afterwards, in the end, he says, this is for the kabbana sibul, that's why it's called the kaporal nafshotechem, right? So now, that's it. So obviously, There's an interesting minig that we have. Klal Yisrael has an interesting minig. We're coming towards Purim and we're in Adar, right? Adar Rishon, but we're still in Adar. So before Purim, we have the minig to give machzit ha-shekel. And the reason is, Gemara says that just as Haman paid Achashverosh, Shkalim, money to destroy Chas v'Shalom, the Jewish people, right? So name Shal Yisrael. So too, we gave, so to speak, our chetzi shekel hikdim l'shiklav. That's what Gemara said. Our machzit ha-shekel hikdimu l'shiklav went before his shkolim, and says the Gemara, and therefore it didn't have an effect. So there's something about machzit ha-shekel that removed what Haman was trying to do, right? The power of Amalek. So there's something this machzit ha-shekel. And then remember, we're worried here about what? We're worried about, Rashi explains, when you count the Jewish people, then there's ayin hara sholet. And remember, counting here is to put someone in his tafkid, put someone in his position. When you give a person a position and a purpose, you're giving him something individual. He's somewhat separate. This is your purpose. This is your individual way of avoda. When you give someone has an individuality, he has a separation from the group, right? That's what giving lifkod someone is saying, you do this and you do something else. So by definition, the counting of the Jewish people is a separation of the Jewish people, by definition. It's a necessary counting. It's a necessary thing. You know, when you have an army, you do this, and you do this, and you do this, right? You need, because everyone has to be different. Not everyone in the army is the same. You have an air force, you have a this, you have a that, I don't even know, right? Same thing, the Jewish people have different aspects of the Jewish people to be Oved. Yes?
You're saying that's why we're giving the shekel, because we don't want to count the people, we want to just count the shekels.
Yeah, that's what we do it. But why is it half a shekel? And why need a matbeh shel eish? So the very simple pshat is, when every counting by definition is a separation of the Jewish people, the wholeness of the Jewish people. So because separation, that implies separation, it has to be done in a way that even though I give you a tafkid, it's a tafkid that you're half a shekel, you're half of the whole. I mean, you have a separate position as part of the whole. That's what we're saying when we count with half a shekel. Right? So, what was Moshe Rabbeinu's problem here? The point of counting, right, is to separate the unity of the Jewish people. That doesn't make sense. That doesn't make sense to put people in a position and separate them. The Jewish people is one. We have one purpose, we have one Torah, we have one God. We all serve God in a one way. Giving people their separation is not what we're about. Everyone has one way of avodah through HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Right? The Machzit HaShekel was an understanding of how this, through disparity, we can come to that unity. That's the Matbeah Shel Eish. That's what we didn't understand. How disparity can bring that unity. And you see that. Where do you find the greatest unity?
Partner and wife.
In a wife. She is, I mean, you don't have to read all those books that say men are from Mars or whatever it says. You know, women from Venus. Men and women are the most different species in the world, right? And that's where you find the greatest closeness. Where there's disparity, there is that closeness. But it can only be closeness if a person has a specific and defined tafkid, place, way of being, but that place has to be a place, that tafkid, how do you say tafkid, that
purpose
has to be a purpose of half, not a purpose of a whole. That's the matbeah shel eish.
So why not a sixth?
Because a sixth is, first of all, it has to be some level. Half always says that when I have a tafkid, my tafkid is a complete, my purpose is a complete purpose in of itself. But if my purpose is a complete purpose in of itself, in unrelated to the Jewish people, then I'm completely separate from the Jewish people. When I understand that my tafkid is a purpose in relation to something else, purpose. My purpose, or where the way I'm supposed to be forming, role, yeah. My role is the way I have to relate to the Jewish people. That means my role is only half of what I'm supposed to do, because my role is half of my purpose. My ultimate purpose is to use my kochot, my role, to relate to the Jewish people. You with me? That's it. Okay. Somehow this matbeah must be, we know that matbeah represents malchus. You see the Gemara that means this concept. You know, Shlomo and David, that's the coins of David and Melech, Avram and Sarah are the coins of Avram, right? So it represents tiv'o ba'olam, represents his form in the world. It represents his expression in the world. So matbeah shel eish is somehow an expression of eish. What does eish represent? The only thing I can think of is before Matan Torah, Klal Yisrael were one. This is happening before Purim. What did Haman say, right? Our Shkarim were beat the shkalim of Haman. What was Haman's taina on the Jewish people? What is his claim on the Jewish people? Am mefuza u'mefurad bein ha'amim. They're a separate people. They're separate. They're in disparity. That claim is for the detriment of us, that we're separate. When we're separate as a people within us, then Amalek comes and has dominion over us. But that which we are a separate people, right? That which we are a separate people and we have our own ways and we become one with our own ways, that's also our koach. So the Jewish people have separate ways, have separate purposes and separate ways to go that can cause us disparity. But also that separation from other peoples causes also our oneness and our unity. Right? Eish, right, can have two things. Has Eish of Kas, of anger, and Eish is something which represents Eish of Torah, which binds us together. So I would say that the Jewish people have two ways of expressing themselves. There can be the Eish of disparity, or the Eish of unity, which is the Eish of Torah, which binds us. Berishvei Eish of Ava to Kodesh Baruch Hu, of love, of fiery love of Kodesh Baruch Hu. You understand? And that's what represents the Machzor HaShekel. Since we are individuals and we are creative people and we have kochot, we have strengths, and each person's strength is different than his fellow man, that can cause disparity in us. But when it's brought in a way that we connect with each other, that our kohot are used to unify our people, to be creative as one unit, to connect to the one Torah, right? V'yichen sham tachataha, ke'ish echad, ke'lev echad, right? With one heart. Then there's no negev, then there's no problem, then there's no disparity in the Jewish people, there's a unity. And when there's that unity, then we don't have the problem that Haman addressed to Achashverosh, that we're a separate people. We're separate in that we're different, but not that we have a disparity. We are a unity. And that's what Machzor HaShekel represents. Clear? Now we're going to jump to the Chet HaEgel. Vayar Ha'am ki boshesh Moshe. That Moshe, what is boshesh Moshe? Loredet minahar, to come down. Boshesh, Rashi says, right, it's ki boshesh Moshe, iche. Right? The Moshe was delayed. So the Gemara in Brachas, Daf Mem, when it speaks about bread, that it has salt in it or doesn't have salt in it. So the Lashon of the Gemara says, Leis din, doesn't require, Tzarech Bashash, doesn't have anything removed from it because it has salt. Right? Leis Besh Bashas, Rashi doesn't have an ikuv. Doesn't have anything that prevents it. I.e., it has salt in it, it's fine. So, what's this related to anything? This is the same notion as doesn't need to wait, right? We're waiting for Moshe Rabbeinu to come down. Now, simply speaking, the Chet HaEgel is a very simple chet, right? Klal Yisrael, we explained this before, Klal Yisrael and Matan Torah didn't hear the Dibros, only the first Dibros from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. All the other Dibros, they heard from Moshe Rabbeinu, they wanted that. That was a chisaron on Klal Yisrael. They wanted an intermediary, because had they heard all the Ten Commandments from HaKadosh Baruch Hu direct, they wouldn't have sinned, and we would have gone into Eretz Yisrael, they would have been complete Tchias HaMesim. What happened, they only heard the first command from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, right? The rest of the commands, they didn't have a complete Tchias HaMetim. There wasn't, i.e. there was a Chisaron. They were not hearing the Torah direct from Hashem. They needed an intermediary of Moshe. So now, when Moshe came back and there was an Ichur, there was a delay in his coming back, they needed an intermediary. That intermediary was the golden calf. The calf represented some aspect of the Merkava, some aspect of the higher world. It wasn't Avodah Zarah like they believed the Kava. They believed in the Kodesh Baruch Hu, They just saw Kodesh Baruch Hu. They believed in Kodesh Baruch Hu, but they needed a representation here on earth. That was how all Avodah Zarah started. So the concept of needing intermediary already started on Matan Torah. Right? They couldn't relate to Moshe. They couldn't relate to Kodesh Baruch Hu. They needed Moshe to relate to them. So there was a chisaron in themselves. And that came about in the Chet HaEgel. There was not this direct connection. Yeah? Egel, the concept of Egel, what does Egel represent? Egel is Lashon of Igul. Circle. What does a circle represent? You have a lines. Lines, circles you find in nature. If you take something and you put it in water, it eventually becomes circular. Something which is circular is usually physical. It's natural. Right? Things are naturally curved. Things aren't naturally straight. I'm not talking about crystals, but things aren't naturally straight. Tables, things which man create have form, have straight lines. Things that we're in nature are circular. So circle represents, igul, or egel represents physicality. That means the Chet HaEgel was a sign of man's physicality. That's what it means that when man needs an intermediary, man or Klal Yisrael needs an intermediary to connect to creation, to Kodesh Baruch Hu, means that man was too physical to connect with the Creator. And that was essentially what the Chet HaEgel was. I.e., there was a separation from Klal Yisrael to the Creator. And that we already know from Matan Torah. Right? This just was expounded upon. I, the Luchot Rishona, which and Moshe Rabbeinu did not have this problem. Moshe Rabbeinu was completely connected. So now his people were disconnected. Chet HaEgel, right, brought the Klal Yisrael to be that disconnect, that lower level of physicality. So now, we know from Chazal that when Klal Yisrael were on Matan Torah, Pascha Mehem was removed from them, or on whatever level, but Pascha Mehem, Zumatan Shel Nachash. That means their physicality was removed from them. The Chet HaEgel brought on that they need for this intermediary. They needed, brought on again that physicality and went back to the stage of the Chet, the sin of Adam HaRishon, which means the Jewish people and the world came down to its more physical plane, i.e. the plane of eagle, the plane of circle. You with me? Okay. We know that after the Chet of Adam HaRishon, right? Before the Chet, Adam HaRishon would bring on bread. He'd pluck bread from the tree, and it was fixed. He had it, it was all there, he could eat it straight away. He didn't have to do anything, it was all his sustenance was there. After the Chet, Bezeh tapecha tocha lechem, he had to work. The Mishnah in Shabbos says, there's asara sidura depa, there's 10 ways or steps in which to make bread. Right? 10 steps. There's a reason for 10. You can understand why 10. Right? There's only one thing, once you've made bread, right? There's still one thing that man has to do to the bread. One more thing. Salt. He has to add salt. If the bread has salt, ein din tzarech bashash. This doesn't require any ikuv. There's no waiting. That's a complete solution. Man fixed completely himself. It doesn't even require salt. What does salt represent? What does salt do? Salt, you put on meat, and it like... It removes all the blood. It's absorbing, right? Salt is also painful. The Gemara says that Brit Melach, we have a din to put Melach on Korbanos, right? The Brit Melach, salt is connected Isurim. Salt is connected what? The, how you say Isurim? The
Isur.
Isurim. the not like not forbidden means like yisurim. Means yisurim, yeah.
Oh, the trials and tribulations.
Trials and tribulations. Saul represents trials and tribulations, right? That's what Gemara says in Brachot. The same lashon of bashash that's used about bread is used in the Cheder Egel. It's telling us that the isurim that come to a person, the trials and tribulations that come to a person, is his tikkun for the Cheder Egel, is to remove him from his physicality. That's Ein Sarich Bashash. That's what Chazal say, that any aveira that a person does, and that's what a person gets Chas V'Shalom Yisurim before, trials and tribulations, is when, right? It's because of his aveiras. And every aveira that a person does has part of the Cheder Egel. So those trials and tribulations that are there to fix a person is to remove his physicality from him, which is represented in the Cheder Egel. And when you have, when you work, when a person's working on producing that bread, so to speak, he's working, he's toiling in this world to produce the bread. When that bread has every aspect fixed in it, i.e. even the salt, even those trials and tribulations that he has, right? Ein Sarich Bashash doesn't require any ikuv. There's no ikuv. There's nothing preventing him from connecting. He's connected. He's removed from himself the Cheder Egel. That's what his trials and tribulations do. Why did we have? Why did Moshe Rabbeinu? He broke now the tablets, and according to Baruch says Yishar Kochacha. It's a good thing that he broke the tablets. Why? Well, what do those tablets represent? The Luchot Rishona represent a certain clarity of Klal Yisrael. The Luchot represents that it was written by Kodesh, it was formed by Kodesh Baruch Hu, and that which was written on them was also given to Kodesh Baruch Hu. It was written by Kodesh Baruch Hu. It was a complete connection with the Creator. The Luchot Shniot was written, was inscribed by man. Moshe made the Luchot and had the writing of Kodesh Baruch Hu. That means they were still, it wasn't a complete 100% connection. There was still man to toil in the Luchot. That's what Teresh Baal Peh, the toiling. That's the difference between Luchot Rishonot and Luchot Shniot. Luchot Rishonot means Torah without toil. Luchot Shniot means Torah with toil. Because man became more physical. So the purpose of the Luchot Shniot is for man's toil in the Torah to fix his goof. Those are the Yisurim, those are, if man toils in Torah, and his Yisurim are in Torah, his toiling is in his Torah learning, in his understanding of the world, in his grappling with the world, right? That's sufficient toiling for him to remove the Cheder Egel within him, right? So that's what Torah represents. And it represents Torah Shebaal Peh. Dafka. Now we all know that the Torah Shebaal Peh was given when? On Purim. So this is obviously related to Kimu Mashikiblu Kva. That's a Gemara. That they received Ba'ava, what they already received, Ba'onis, forcefully on Har Sinai. Kabbalah Satorah Ba'ava is Kabbalah Satorah, right? Yes, that's my proper Kabbalah Satorah. What we received on Shavuos was Ba'onis, was the clarity, so we could not accept. You see a Kodesh Baruch Hu, how can you not accept the Kodesh Baruch Hu? How can you accept this Rotson? That's Ba'onis, you see. But then through the Nes of Purim, through the Hest upon him, we have the Av of accepting the Torah, right? Through Hest upon him, through the difficulty, from a non-understanding, we come to an understanding and a clarity. That's from a non-clarity to come to a clarity, that's the concept of Torah Shebaal Peh. Torah Shebaal Peh is the toil of man in the Torah from an unclear point of view to come to the clarity of Torah, and that toil, that's the concept of Torah Be'ahava. That's the concept of Purim. Yes? So, that's somehow related to the Machzit HaShekel, as we said before. Right? All disparity, right, which is represented in the shekel, right? When we count, all disparity comes from the goof. That's the shorish of all disparity. right? Any differences within people, any differences within Klal Yisrael, it's all because there's a shibud to the goof. There's a problem that we're meshubud to our goof. We have, and that causes Klal Yisrael all its disparity. Torah Shebaal Peh is to remove that shibud to the goof through our toil, right? Torah Tavlin Li Yetzirah. Torah is the potion, you could say.
What's meshubud?
Meshubud means
committed.
No, committed means leaned on, like how you say meshubed? Subservient to the goof, right? All disparity comes from there. The level a person's subservient to his goof, that's the level he has disparity. Torah, and that's his Yetzirah. All his Yetzirim, all his desires are formed from his desires of his goof. That's all his Yetzirim, all his Yetziriras come from there. All his problems come from there. Torah is tavlin liyetzahara. Torah removes that disparity, and that's what the Machzor of the Shekel is supposed to do. Because when a person has a clarity on his tafkid within Klal Yisrael, right, that's the way he connects to Klal Yisrael, and that clarity comes through Torah. Torah will give him that clarity, and that's, in a certain sense, that's ultimately the tikkun of the Chet HaEgel. When a person, that kav, those lines, that clarity, when you say Yashar Kel, the line that we have with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that line removes the eagle, removes the egel. When we have that clarity that Torah gives us, that eagle, that physicality represented in the circle, becomes a line of connection with our Creator. And not, if you understand why physicality is a circle, because you always go around on itself. There's always one more thing to desire, one more thing to go after. You're going round and around. It's an endless circle. You know, you eat this, you want that, you do this, you do that, right? It's an endless circle. That's where the Yetzirah is, a dimion of a zvuv. If you ever see a zvuv move, it's like moving around in a circle, right? If you ever see people who are more physical, they're like, you know, their heads move around with a circle. You know, they're moving around, right? You know what I'm talking about, right? Those type, they're like moving around. It's like a, it's funny, but it's true. And even if they don't move their heads around, their eyes move around. It's circular. It's actually a very important point. It's brought down in Svarim Kedoshim that the place of Chet, and that's going back to the Ayin Hara. Ayin Hara is the iron which absorbs. But that iron is an iron that moves. It moves to look for this, and look for this, and look for this. It's not a straight iron. It's iron that removes. An Ayin Tova is an iron that gives out. And that's a straight eye. That's an eye that looks into another person to give. That's a penetrating eye. When a person penetrates with his eye, he's usually not moving his eyes around. He's focused with his eye. You understand what I'm saying? That's a straight eye. There's an eye which is a circular eye, and there's an eye which is a straight eye. Ayin Hara is a circular eye. An Ayin Tov is a straight eye that looks and penetrates and sees what you need and wants to give to you. You with me? You understand the difference?
Mm-hmm.